Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. It is the fourth Wednesday of the month, so that means we have San Diego employment attorney Ward Heinrichs back on the show, and he's going to talk to us about being protected. Are you protected? Is your company protected? Are you in a protected class? Actually, this is really important because he talks about this on just about every show. It's about, well, the protected classes have this and that. And I'm like, who is a protected class? What are you talking about? So it's very exciting to have him back on the show. He's got an article about it. You can see it on blendradioandtv.com. Also see in the latest issue of Success Express Magazine. I know, Ward, we are recording this, but by the time everyone hears this, your employment laws are out in a magazine. So there you go.
Hey,
so that's cool.
Yo.
But welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's always fun to do a little show with you and see if we can teach everyone a little bit about something that maybe they don't know.
I'm just laughing at you because you're in a sweater with a beach background and I'm in a t-shirt in North Carolina. How do things swap around? But apparently I'm not going to be like this tomorrow. So,
Yeah, it's going to get a little warmer here, but it's been, I was telling you before we got on air, we've had a few days where it's mid-50s, and that's really cold for San Diego, you know, at the highest temperature we've got. And then at night, sometimes dipped into the 30s. Now, of course, if you're in the mountains, that's a whole different thing.
It's different. Yeah.
But when you're fairly close to the coast, those are very cold temperatures. And it's been that way all winter.
Especially when it's cold, when it's that wet cold. And I think that's what Nancy and I have been experiencing on the East Coast. Like we're used to desert cold. It comes in for a couple days. It's maybe you get some snow, some ice, and then it bails. Well, no, I don't know, man. Yeah. We're coming home.
Well, we've had that wet cold too. We've had so much rain in the last, 2 months. Really, we've had it. It's going to rain again next week sometime. So that's been like bone chilling. Now, I don't want to overdo it. It's still, much better than
Ward, you've lived all over
Alaska.
Listen, every time I post things on parks and travel, I've been here, I've been there. I'm like, where haven't you been? Like, seriously. I mean, you Indiana, Canada,
yep.
Snow.
Canada's cold.
Yeah. So, like, you're still, yeah. And then you were in Hawaii, but that was not cold.
No. Oh, I loved Hawaii. The Hawaii water. That was the best.
Look at your face. You're just like already like, ooh, let's go back.
It's cathartic just to think about it. The water is so wonderful. In the middle of the winter, so if you go like December when, every place else, out here it's 55 degrees in San Diego, the water. There it's, maybe mid-70s. And they go, it's a little chilly. Well, it's a little chilly, but it's really great. And in the summer, it's, in the 80s, the water's just.
I have a friend over there. She moved over there and she said, she told Nancy and I, she goes, she was born on the same day as Nancy. So we call them the Taurus bulls. And so every May here, they start with me and I have to take care of them all month of May because that's their birthday. And it's just, apparently it's a whole month. But she goes, no, I've decided that this is the only weather my body likes, and that's that. I don't care. And I'm moving there, and that's it. And I'm going, but I think you're younger than me. I don't care. That's it. I'm going there. But listen, California is amazing, and you're about to get spring.
It
and
is.
You're going to have those amazing spring flowers. And the Borrego Desert State Park is going to get bloomed soon, given another week or two.
Yeah.
So you're about to be on that warm and cozy highway. And hopefully Nancy and I will see you in a little bit, too, on our way up north. You never know.
That'd be excellent. Love to.
I know. It would be so cool. It's been years, Ward.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Let's talk about these protected classes because I want to be protected. So listen, everyone, bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com is the website for Ward. His article, like I was saying, is up on blendradioandtv.com. But when I hear protected classes, I feel like, do I have to wear a condom? Like what? But who's protected?
So
what
don't.
is a protected class when you talk about them? Is it, as it, I don't quite always get that part. Like, oh, you're a protected class. Well,
it's how the statute defines protected class, really, is what it comes down to. And in my article, I talk about how the federal law has defined it, and it's really split up amongst several different federal statutes that get these classes, you know, like sex, like age, like genetic background. Well, in California, genetic background.
So race is different than
race
genetic background.
And color. Race and color were actually the first ones on the federal, on any level, back in 1866, I think it was, constitutional amendments made those protected. So it's really what how the statute defines it, but basically it's a characteristic of a group of people. So they all share the same characteristic. So gender. We all have gender. I'm a man, you're a woman. If you're picking on me because I'm a man, then that's gender discrimination, in the, at least in the workplace.
Oh, so if I say, oh, I'm so tired of these, you know, white men running everything, and I pick on you, they would go, boom, you're wrong.
They sue you for race discrimination and gender discrimination.
Oh, because I said white, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I won't say it, Ward. I won't say it.
Well, I appreciate that.
But here's the deal. Like, that's interesting. Like, so we're going by gender, we're going by race, all these different things. But doesn't it kind of mean that everyone's protected at the end of the day? But it's like, if you're being discriminatory or racist or just like a rude person, that someone can, you know, say, hey, stop doing that in the workplace.
Well, certainly some of us share all the characteristics, or most of the characteristics, like disability. Not everyone's disabled.
Right.
So you,
okay. Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to get in that group. Now, maybe I am. I've got, well, in fact, I am, because I have diabetes type 1. So I'm a disabled human being.
I'm coughing right now. I've got the flu, not COVID.
It's possible we'll have a temporary disability. But unless you have a disability, then you don't have that kind of protection.
And you shouldn't mess around with that. Like, that's the, there's weird stuff that happens with that, where people, you know, George Costanza in Seinfeld wanted a disability bathroom so he could have an easier bathroom. And that's a no-no. Don't laugh. You can't laugh, but it's true. He used the wrong
Seinfeld
bathroom.
Right?
I know it's a TV show, but that was the truth. He used that and he shouldn't, and he wasn't disabled. And it's, you know
what
I mean?
I see. He used the disabled bathroom. All right. Now, hold on a second. At least here where I work, no one ever uses it, so I go in.
Oh, well, there it is. Listen, Nancy and I watch, you
now,
know,
you know, for people
adventure.
Waiting for it, I'm not going to say, hey, look, guy, just because your leg isn't working, I'm going to use it anyway. No.
Actually, sometimes there are the cleaner ones, like if you're in a communal area, sometimes, anyway, I don't want to go into restroom. That's all I
use them. It's just, I don't even think there's a law against that, but, you know,
it's about
discourteous.
Parking. That's
it's
the
discourteous.
Law. It's discourteous. Like, if someone needs to go and they're disabled, they go before you. And disabled parking, that's a no-no.
Well, that is illegal.
And George Costanza is an idiot about that, too. Like, you know, he doesn't want to walk, you know, and he can, you know, but he's tubby, too. Oh.
Oh, hey, what about San Francisco? They have outlawed discrimination based on weight and height. So you just violated the weight one.
I don't employ anybody.
you weren't picking on an employee either, so you're okay.
No, but I don't mean it. And I can say it because I have a muffin top, so I figure I can say it.
Yeah, whatever you figure.
And he's like, oh, look at you, lawyer. Like, you're not going there. You're not going there. That's great. That was great. Ward, you're so good. You're so good. You're just like, I'm not taking that bait.
Nope.
Wow. Dude, are you serious? Like, you just didn't even. Wow.
Yeah.
I am impressed at that. That was good. Like, whoa. Okay. So, listen, you can't muffin top Ward. Okay, so the thing is, you've got federal muffin tops versus non-federal. But anyway, no, I'm not going to go there. But I can say that about me. I'm talking about me, so no one can get mad at me or say anything. And don't talk about my muffin top, because I'll get mad at you. but I can talk about my muffin top. Is that what we're talking about on all of this?
And I'm not.
Uh-oh. Oh, God, Ward, come on. Come be my buddy. Come to the other side of the non-politically correct side. This is like political
correctness.
No, I got
to take this stuff seriously. This is part of my business, you know. I can't just start winging these terms.
No. I am kidding around, but it's actually really serious. It is serious. Because I think that a lot of us go like, oh, like it's not lighthearted. Things come for a reason. If someone cannot go to a bathroom, or if they're being discriminated against because of their race, because of a disability, gender, like you're saying, you know, and that's really become a thing right now. It's like, okay, everybody's trying to learn everybody's way of being. You know, there's all these pronouns and nouns or whatever and all of that. I don't understand everything on that, but I'm trying. So don't send me those emails. You can send me emails about my muffin top. I don't care.
Well, it's big too because of pay disparity. And so there's all sorts of laws that have been modified or legislatures have recently passed trying to equalize pay disparity by forcing companies to produce their pay, their average pay for each group. So if there's men and women, you're supposed to, if you put up a help wanted ad somewhere, then you're supposed to say, and for this is the average range. And you're also supposed to have, well, you don't have to put this on the website, but you have to give this to the government, the average amount of pay for each group. So that's a real big thing now.
And that's federal or California?
That's California. And actually, federal does some of it too, but California, of course, has taken it to a whole new level.
Yeah, so, California, you guys have more. When I was reading your article, it looks like California has more laws than the federal government does on all of this regarding protected class.
Because
you got to think,
question.
They still have to kind of follow federal law, but it's like, okay, we're going to take this a step further each time, it seems.
Well, California goes further and they protect the individuals, they protect individual workers more than just about any other state in the union and more than the federal government. And so there is not federal preemption, meaning the federal law is the one that's followed in California because California is more protective, so it's not preempted. And you see that time and time again with California laws. And I think what you're probably talking about is the number of protected classes that California has.
Yeah.
It does have far more than federal, no doubt.
Wow. Do you think, is this very, I mean, because I know that California, it's like every year we talk, there's always a change. Is it kind of recent in the 10 years or is this just been building beyond that? But it seems like the last 5 to 10 years has been really busy.
Yeah, they've added quite a few in the last 10 years, let's say, and I may not be totally accurate on that, but in the last decade or so, they've really added a bunch more. I mean, here, I'm just going to look at my article. And let's see, the recent one. Oh, yeah, veteran and military status. That's not in the federal law. And so that was a very recent one.
Oh, but I love that. That's great, isn't it? You know?
That is great. Genetic information was very recent.
Go back to that. So wait. So that's protected, like...
Oh.
I don't understand that.
You don't have to disclose genetic different information. The problem with that is they're thinking that someone can be discriminated against because they may have a pre-existing condition genetically. It doesn't mean they'll necessarily get that disease. So they don't want people to be discriminated against based on they have this gene that makes it look like they might have a problem down the road.
So when you think about what's going on in regards to genetics, and so when it's been a long time since I have applied for a job, like years, like 20, 30 years. And it would always say Caucasian. And I remember looking at it and saying, like, what's Caucasian? Because I never experienced that at that time. And you had to say what race you were. And I'm like, I always said to her, like, well, what happens if you're both or try, or like, what if you're a mixed, you know, race? And that wasn't there, or click other, you know, there wasn't even clicking back then. It was just check other. And then what are you supposed to say? Like, I'm a half this, quarter that, a bit of that, a bit of that. So, and once you start doing that, you know, your chances of the job are probably going to go lower and lower at that point. I mean, those are in the days. So I think some of these laws came from that. I mean, I'm federally, but now you're talking genetics. So it goes a little bit. I mean, are people still checking what color they are in those?
Well, for a lot of forms, they certainly are. And it's mostly that where I see it is for government record keeping. They'll ask, you know, what group do you fit in? And they do have other usually, and they do leave a little room usually to write something in there. But
it's going to get weird. Like over the years, we're all mixed now. Like we're.
And you have to keep track of it now as an employer, which is a little dicey. I mean, how much are you going to ask people about this kind of stuff? And where is it overstepping? Well, the law says, hey, you got to keep track of this stuff. So I guess the law creates an exception to any overstepping, you know, privacy violations potentially. So they have to keep track of this. And so they're going to have to start, you know, keeping that the statistics. I think they always have, and there's always been some requirement, but now it's just much, much more.
It's weird because you want to say, we want to hire more Black people, for example, right?
Right.
Or Black women. I know that's really, especially in corporate laws, right? They're going, oh, we need to have more Black women on boards, right? That we've talked about that on shows. But if you don't keep track of that, but yet you say, oh, are you white or Black? And it shouldn't be. It should be, are you qualified? But if you cut, it's like a double-edged sword. This is weird. Like, you know what I mean? You need the statistics, but you don't want to ask. But then if you do that, and then like,
Yeah, that's the catch-22 of it all. It should be, you're right. And there's so many times where California says, hey, you need to make a decision based on qualification, not based on race or any other, you know, any other protected class. So, so when you do the analysis as a business, you're supposed to say, hey, I'm putting all this other stuff aside. I'm really thinking just about this. And I'm going to tell, and when I tell you why I'm doing whatever I'm doing, it's going to, lawyers will tell their clients, their business clients, hey, do it only for reasons that matter to your business, not anything exterior. But on the other hand, you do have to keep track of this stuff. So in a way it's highlighted. And the only way I can justify that is, I don't think you can justify it under the Constitution, frankly, but the U.S. Constitution says don't discriminate, period. is the government says, well, we want to treat certain groups that have not been treated well historically better and give them maybe a leg up, or at least an equal share. I think the idea is equal share.
The leg up thing,
but it does
stop.
Require
that's
I
not,
think some discrimination
weird.
To even do that. So anyway,
yeah, it's weird because the leg up shouldn't be, and that's where everybody fights that part of it, you know. And it's not, it should be, hey, you're qualified, and for many years we didn't want to acknowledge that your group was qualified, you know. It's about diversity and opening arms to diversity and understanding that, you know, all races and disabled people have skills that we didn't know. I mean, geez, look at Stephen Hawking, for God's sakes. I mean, we can't go. History has proved you cannot look at disabilities or gender or race and say they're not qualified for things. It's just not.
Based on that, definitely not.
No.
The way it's being tracked now is, potentially someone who has been in a historical group that's not been as well represented or has not had the goodies of society that some other group have had, now may be getting extra help. So that is, you know, and it's just a tension. I'm not saying, you know, right, wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's a tension in the law where we're trying to not discriminate, but maybe we promote a little bit to make up for some historical anomalies. So
that, yeah,
it's very tense. I mean, it's complex
is the word, right?
It is complex.
It's like even having this conversation, none of us want to say the wrong thing and we all want to say the right thing, but none of it's 100% right. And it's complex. And I don't think anybody, you know, well, there are idiots out there that are not nice people, but I think, like you and I talking, you know, Nancy on the shows too, we want people to have their fair due, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair justice, you know. Justice is becoming a word that I see more and more in corporations. Justice leadership is becoming a term. We have Rita Sever is on our shows now talking about leadership and justice. Like if you're a justice nonprofit that's about social justice, you better be socially justice within your own nonprofit. And how are you doing that?
Yeah. And sometimes you see contradictions.
Exactly, right? And so, and that's a real deal. And so she was talking about that. And now, like ever since I talked to her and I keep, you know, all these interviews we do with you, I keep saying this word justice, so, you know, like social justice within the workplace. And it's obviously a real deal and part of why people walk out. If they're not getting paid their value, if they're not being recognized, they're going to walk out. And, you know, it's going to happen. And it is happening. And some are creating their own businesses. And then when people get that fire under their belly, you may have a really strong competitor that walked away with things that you didn't want. But there's laws for that, right? About walking away with client information. I remember that.
Yeah, no. Well, it depends what it is, but if it's confidential information, if it's protected, then yeah, you better be careful about that, no doubt.
Wow.
Oh, you know, the most recent one, I misspoke. I said it was the military status. It's the reproductive health decision making. That was,
what's that got to do with the workplace?
Last year. Well, if you discriminate or harass someone because of the decision making they made, and it's really about
if you had an abortion.
Yeah, it was really about abortion because, you know, Roe v. Wade got overturned and then California passed this. So they included this group in here. And it's in other laws too, not just workplace laws, but it is in workplace laws in terms of, you know, reproductive health decision making. So you can't discriminate against someone talking about abortion is really where that started.
But now if you were in Texas, you could go to jail for even.
I don't know. I don't know what Texas laws are.
Let's not go into that because, like, I don't want anyone. I mean, it's almost like you spy on your neighbor and you don't tell, they'll put you away kind of thing. It's like a weird, I don't know. I don't want to get into it because that's not what we're talking about today. But it is like in Texas, it would be a different law, employment law then.
Yeah. You know? Well, what but I remember not, about that was that they opened up something like the Private Attorney General Act so that you could say, I think this person is supporting reproductive rights that harm fetuses, you know, however they put it. And you could sue them for that and maybe put them out of the business is the idea. Mm. And that's what, so Texas has a law like that. So something similar to California law, where, you know, you can be a private attorney general, but used in a very different way.
Oh, I think that's another segment we need to do on the show is understanding what the private attorney general is about. Because that's a whole other place. Like people, you know, you hear about it and then you go like, but really, what is that about? Like, when do we call the attorney general? Or what is the private attorney general? Are they the same thing?
No.
I knew it. Okay, that's another show then.
We'll do another show on it.
Okay, because it's not. And you always think, oh, I'm going to call the attorney general. I just threatened that on somebody and it didn't work. I didn't call you first, see? I should have called Ward.
Give me a call. If you have a question.
I know. And hey, it's true. People can call Ward and you know, for a first conversation, right? And you work with people to see if it's a case or not. Or
yeah.
If you can help, sure. That's cool. Yep. So protected rights, are you protected or not? Look at all these different, I mean, I'd still look at that. Everyone's protected in some way, but it's according to what the legality issue is.
And it's based on a characteristic at least in FEHA. Now, you know, it's very interesting. I was looking at these more carefully just recently because this.
No, it's kind of crazy when you start getting into it.
I started talking about the CFRA, remember the California Family Rights Act, and you can argue, I think, that people who have a serious health condition are a protected class, because under this, now that's not in the Fair Employment and Housing Act, the FEHA, you know, where you sue people for discrimination and harassment. This is a protected class that's allowed time off work. But if you have a serious health condition, it's you know, similar to a disability. You know, they're defined differently, so I'm not going to say they're the same. But that sounds like the same kind of protected class as disability, or in the same
vein.
Right.
And so, but what happens if you go and apply for a job? They can't ask you, "Hey, are you disabled?" Or do you have?
No, they can't do that. Could they ask if you have a present serious health condition? I don't think so. That's too close. But the CFRA, the California Family Rights Act, which gives you time off and does protect against retaliation if you take the time off or if you're applying for it, doesn't protect it, at least that I can remember, if someone were to say, "Hey, this is a job interview. Do you foresee any serious health conditions?" That might be a legal question that you can't get sued for, at least under the CFRA. I'm pretty sure you can't. Now, maybe under the FEHA, you know, Fair Employment and Housing Act, that affects workplaces as well as housing, you'd have a tougher case if you were the employer, and a better case if you play under that act. So anyway, my point was, there are other laws that aren't the ones that we usually categorize as the protected class laws that I think make at least arguably protected classes.
So there's gray areas and loopholes.
Well, it's a different law, and it defines what I think probably you could say is a protected class.
Well, okay. So when you were talking about, so I was going, okay, when we check the box, are we white? Are we black? Are we Hispanic? Or like, hello, I'm a little bit of everything. You know, those little boxes when you're applying for a job, but then you're saying that there's genetic stuff going on. So we want to know, like, oh, my family has a history of asthma, it does, or heart disease, or diabetes. Right. Like,
yes. So they don't want, California says, we don't want a business to not hire you or to discriminate against you or to terminate you because you have this genetic marker or family history. Maybe it's that broad. You know, if you have a history of the same type of illness, you know, it's fair to say that's genetic probably. I'm not sure what proof you need to show, but regardless, that type of thing, it would be illegal in California.
What about pregnancy? Like, that's one thing too.
Oh,
like
yeah. That's been there for a long time. Yeah, pregnancy. Okay. You can't pick on
that. Because that's a protected class, right, for women?
No, that's a protected class under the main law that we look for, that we use as examples of protected class, is the Fair Employment and Housing Act. And it's the one that has the 18 different protected classes listed in it.
Okay.
So that's the main one where we think of protected class. But I'm saying, I think it's broader than that. I think you can look at different laws, California Family Rights Act. It also seems to protect the class of people. So I don't think, honestly, I don't think it's just limited to the 18 in the Fair Employment and Housing Act. I think there are more.
So when Rihanna came down in the Super Bowl on that swinging thing, like, she was a protected class, even though she's pregnant, swinging in the Super Bowl party. I'm going, that's scary, and you're pregnant, but now who's protecting that? She's not employed by anyone but herself, right? Or the label.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Ooh, if it was in California, what would happen? Ooh.
Well, no, because it's not discrimination or harassment. They're not saying, if you don't do this,
we're
going to fire you. So it really doesn't have anything to do with workplace harassment or workplace violations based on discrimination or harassment.
Unless they force her to do it when they know she's not.
If they say, you got to do this, and we're making you do it because you're pregnant, well, we're getting a little far afield. But I suppose you could say
something
like,
come on, we always do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it makes sense, though, we get so far sometimes. So here, I'm going to try to make sense of this. If Rihanna said, I want to do a Super Bowl halftime show, and she went in and said, NBC, you make that happen. And NBC says, well, we'll make you an employee. And then later they go, oh, you're pregnant. No, you can't do it. That could be discrimination.
Oh, meantime, they may be just being protective.
They're picking on her because she's pregnant.
Oh, but meantime, it could be protective. Yeah, safety.
Safety is a different thing. We're not talking about safety. We're talking about picking on her because of her status as a pregnant woman.
Ooh.
But yeah. Safety may come into it. You may say, well, under these conditions, we think the risk that could happen to you. Now, I think this, again, I think she could file her claim, but this would be like a defense. Well, we just didn't want to be liable for anything that happened, and we thought the risk was very high that something might happen to her because of her status as being pregnant. So maybe that's a good defense.
Like she could stand up on stage and sing, but don't swing her from the rafters.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's all I was saying. But it's interesting because you everybody, the comments about Rihanna, I don't know. Like, to me, it do what you want to do. I mean.
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
Nancy was mowing the lawn and stuff, you know, and taking care of lions when I was like in her belly. So, you know.
Sounds riskier to me.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, that didn't last for long. They were. I have photos of me with a lion around my neck. Yes, it's written. No, but she was rehabilitated. That's a positive story. When people should not have lions as pets. Let me put it this way. And she was fixing that situation. So it's very cool. But anyway, Ward, always good. Always good. Always fun.
I enjoyed it.
Let's play with the private attorney general, not the general attorney. The private attorney general and the attorney general. We'll get those straight. I need them straight, apparently.
I think I can explain it so that you'll understand the difference. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You got the genetics and the races and all that different for me, so that's good. I just didn't even think people looked at that. I didn't like. Who looks at?
Oh no!
That?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Companies have to track it now. I mean, they always have to some degree, but now they really have to track it for pay reasons, more so than anything else.
Wow.
And there's more reporting to do.
Well, that creates a new job.
Yeah. But I know that some companies, especially smaller companies, because
they're just like, can we just work with our employees and get on with it?
Right. The smaller, because I work mostly with smaller businesses.
Yeah. And
a lot of this stuff gets to be a big burden for them. Now, you know, AT&T, not such a big burden, you know, hire one more person, we still make billions. But smaller companies, this does make a difference.
It does. It does. And it affects the employees at the end of the day. So it's kind of it's always this weird balance. And that's why we have the Lady Liberty and the justice scales, that balance of which way does the scale go, you know?
Yep. I agree with that.
Very cool. Ward, everyone, keep up with Ward, especially if you're in San Diego or California. Go to bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. I don't even know why I look at my notes for that. I know that.
You don't have to. You've memorized it.
I do. I mean, it's very easy. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Ward is here every fourth Wednesday, keeping us up to date and always entertained too and putting up with our shenanigans. So thank you so much, Ward. We'll chat with you soon.
My pleasure.
Thank you.